Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
This morning we're going to be looking at the final bit of teaching from Jesus. That's described by some as the Sermon on the Plain. Remember, it's not Sermon on the Mount, because he was coming down from the hill. So they call it the Sermon on the Plain. He's surrounded by a crowd. He's got his disciples there. He's got the poor and the sick. He's got the unschooled. And he's also got the scholar. He's got the religious leader. And he's got Pharisees, friends and enemies all surrounding him, listening to the words that he is saying. It's a mixed bunch. And Jesus lands his teaching with two pictures. A picture of a tree and a picture of a house. Now, it's not like those people who get prophetic words when it's not really their gifting, and they say, I see a picture of a tree, or I see a picture of a house. It's not that at all. It's not some kind of poor prophetic word. This is Jesus, and he wants to land his teaching with this question. What will you do with the things that you've heard me say? What will you do with all the teaching that I've just delivered to you? What will you do with it? I've finished my teaching now. It's over to you. And Jesus, let me just remind you, has said some incredibly powerful and incredibly challenging teaching. He's given us some of the rules of that upside down kingdom that you wish I'd forget about and move on to another book. But let me just remind you of some of the awesome things that he said. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Do not judge. Do not condemn. Forgive and give. Some proper serious stuff. But to those who are listening, he is saying, do not simply listen to my words and ignore them, but hear them, receive them, treasure them in your heart, and live out what you've heard. There's no point just hearing the words and saying, wow, wasn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't Jesus a very gifted communicator? He actually wants you to take the words that he said and apply it to your life. There was in the 5th century, there was a saint, that's a guy called St. John the Golden Mouth. St. John the Golden Mouth was the Archbishop of Constantinople. And he was called John the Golden Mouth because he was the finest preacher in all the world. Like, his preaching was well renowned. People would flock from everywhere to hear this guy speak. And whenever he finished, he would receive a rapturous applause and cheering, and people would stand to his feet in awe of his incredible ability to teach the word of God. And that sounds great, but it really got to him. It really irritated him, because he really wanted all the glory to go to God. And every time he finished, everyone would stand to their feet and clap and cheer. That'd be great if we did that here, but a little bit, just a little bit. But so there was one particular day when he'd had enough. And so his sermon, the story goes, his sermon was a rebuke to the church. You're not supposed to clap and cheer. I don't want to hear it anymore. All glory goes to God. I'm not interested. Do not clap and cheer. And he went at them, and he went at them hard. But his sermon was so beautiful, so eloquent, that as soon as he finished, they all stood to their feet, clapped and cheered. You know, they were so in awe of the speaker that they didn't listen to his words. And so as much as he rebuked them, they just didn't apply the teaching. Jesus wants to apply his teaching to our lives. He doesn't just want us to skip over the beautiful words. If you listen to people, you know, I've got some non-Christian friends who don't believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin. They don't believe that he died upon the cross. They don't believe that he raised to life on the third day, but they love the teachings of Jesus. They'll say, oh, you know, oh, that Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, they're incredible. I'm like, apply it to your life then. These are the words of the only Son of God. His words were limited while he was here. And it's important that we take what he says and begin to add it to our lives. I've had a little bit of this. Once I had a very difficult situation. I had a girl from my church turn up at my the building, and she was like in a right state. You know, she sort of broke down in my office, began to share how her boyfriend, the father of her children, had been physically abusing her, and it was terrible. It was really terrible. She was scared to go home. She didn't know what to do. And so I began to talk to her about what we would do, how I'd try and get her to a place of safety, that she needed to like back away from all forms of communication with this guy, and that we'd work together to find a positive solution. And I said, but while you're here, I just need to ring a few people to try and get you somewhere where you can be safe. And I stepped out of the room, but she didn't realize I could hear her. And while I'm just outside the room, she rang the guy and said, right, I'll be going to Morrison's in about 5 minutes. I'll meet you there, all right? And I was like, are you serious? I've just said that I want to get you to a place of safety. I've just said I'm going to work on that. I've just said let's try and back off communication. Don't engage with him on the phone. We need to rescue you right now. And she's like, I'll just be in Morrison's. 5 minutes, Morrison's, meet you there. In the cafe. Not really taking on board the teachings. Jesus has his crowd with him. They are sat listening to his incredible words. But what are they going to do with them? Just listen and then get on with their lives? Or are they going to listen and let their teaching impact them? I was speaking at New Wine a few years ago, and I was told before I was speaking that my preach was going to be broadcast across the site on New Wine Radio. That's the height of fame, guys, just to let you know. I was overwhelmed with such an honor. So when I finished, I was staying off site, so I jumped in my car, and I thought I'd tune in to New Wine Radio to listen in to see what they were saying about my talk. And there was a lady commentating on what she'd just heard. And I was like, what? Like, she began to kind of repeat what she thought I was communicating, and she couldn't have got it more wrong. I was just like, I need to go back. I need to go back on the radio. I need to just affirm the things that we're saying, because what you're communicating is almost like the exact opposite of what I just said. Talk about missing the point. And Jesus is saying, I've told you loads of great things. Now it's time not just to listen, but to add these things to your life. And here's the text. Starts in verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. From the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus is saying you can recognize a tree most easily by the fruit that grows on it. If you see grapes, you look at it and say, there is a grapevine. It's not actually a tree, it's a vine. That's a slightly different thing, but let's not go there. If you see grapes, you know it's a grapevine. If you see figs, you can recognize it as a fig tree. I have to admit, when I went through this, I was like, I'm not sure I could pick a fig. Like, I don't know if I'd know what a fig tree looked like. But back in the day, in Israel, you know, the figs and the grapes would have been well-known fruit. I'm a bit of an ignoramus, so I'm not sure I've ever seen a real live fig. But it's like him saying, if you go out and see apples, you'll know it's an apple tree. If you go out and see pears, you'll recognize it as a pear tree. But if you see thorns, you'll know it's a thorn bush. And you'll know that there's no grapes on the thorn bush. There's no figs growing on a thorn bush. Thorn bushes, it turns out, are really bad fruit trees. They do not grow fruit. And Jesus is saying, we are like trees. We are trees, and we are identified by our fruit. Will you be someone who produces grapes, or will you be someone who produces thorns? Now here, if we want to go deep for a minute and go into some old kind of theology, grapes represents life, grapes represents kingdom, grapes represent the creation of God. Fruit is all about the glory of God and his wonder of creation, but thorns are a sign of the fall, of sin, of curse. He's saying, are you going to be people that will represent the kingdom and life and God, or will you be people who represent sin, death, and brokenness? Jesus says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Are we trees that display good fruit? Our fruit will almost be displayed. We as trees display our fruit with our mouths. What comes out of it will tell those around us whether we are good or bad, whether we are following the ways of Christ or not. Our lives display what is stored up in our hearts. Do you understand what Jesus is trying to say here? So take my teaching and store it up in your heart, because then out of your mouth will come the things that I'm saying and doing. So if you're full of unforgiveness, then bitterness will flow out of your mouth. If you're discontented, then you'll find that jealousy flows from your mouth. If you're full of pride, then you're judgment will overflow on those around you. If you're full of hatred, then anger and rage will be what is displayed. But with a heart full of Jesus, with his teachings rooted at the center of your heart, then your mouth will overflow with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. What Paul goes on to describe as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that is displayed is fruit that blesses. It tastes good to the world. It's fruit that restores. It's fruit that displays Christ and his kingdom. Will you store up the teachings of Jesus in your heart? Will you treasure the words of Christ? When he talks about treasuring, he means holding close. It means knowing their value. It means cherishing them, prizing them above anything else, adoring them like they're precious. You know, do you sit under the words of Christ? Do you go through the scriptures? Do you look at the red letters and think, my goodness, aren't they incredible? Aren't they wonderful, the things that Jesus spoke? And when we do that, our mouths and our lives begin to display the wonder of Christ to those around us. I've recently reread that book by Brother Yun called The Heavenly Man. Has anybody sat and read that? My goodness. I sometimes forget just how crazy that book is. But I went through it again recently. This is a leader of the underground church in China who was heavily persecuted for his faith. And he almost kind of prepared himself for those difficult days. And he would learn huge amount of scripture so that when he went into prison and he was isolated for sometimes years and beaten within an inch of his life, all the time he'd be meditating upon the scriptures, day and night, meditating upon the words of God found in the scriptures. Over and over again, he would tell himself the wonderful truths of the Bible. And his life made no sense. The guards could not understand how he managed to not die. They didn't understand how he could survive without food for as long as he did, how he could be a blessing to them, how sometimes he would give what felt like his last meal to the person chained at the wall next to him. He showed incredible love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness. All those good fruits were displayed in this life, you know, which was so broken and so beaten. It's because he cherished and treasured in his heart the word of God. But you know what the truth is? That if we don't do that, the opposite begins to happen. Our lives, if we don't practice this sacred art of treasuring and pondering the words of God, then if we're not careful, we begin to forget the things of God, begin to forget the things that Jesus did and said. I find myself, you know, sometimes a few years down the line from something incredible that happens, and I sometimes find myself thinking, I'm not even sure if all this is real anymore. You know, if you're not careful, you can distance yourself so much from the truth that is found in the word that our lives then begin to head in a different direction. I read this deeply concerning piece the other day. Timothy Longman has provided the most detailed discussion on the role of religion in the Rwandan genocide in Christianity, and in his book Christianity and Genocide in Rwanda, published in 2010. Longman argues that both Catholic and Protestant churches helped to make the genocide possible by giving moral sanction to the killing. Churches had long played ethnic politics themselves, favouring the Tutsis during the colonial period, then switching alliance to the Hutus after 1959, sending a message that ethnic discrimination was consistent with the church, the teaching of the church. Longman is unequivocal in that Christian churches were complicit and contributory in the 1994 genocide. Tens of thousands of Tutsis were killed on church grounds when they sought refuge. One parish complex alone had over 17,000 bodies in a mass grave. In fact, more people were slaughtered on church grounds than anywhere else. They were told that the International War Crimes Tribunal and Rwandan courts have sentenced two Catholic priests and a Seventh-day Adventist pastor for luring Tutsis into their church. The Roman Catholics allowed victims to be buried alive if they weren't murdered outright. The pastor oversaw the murder of 8,000 people at his church. Often Hutus killed their fellow parishioners. Those responsible for the genocide were going to church services, and on the same day, they were committing their crimes. Ethnic cleansing, murder, slaughter, genocide, all consistent with the teachings of the church. How incredibly broken is that? They may have been consistent with the teaching of the church in that nation, but they were not consistent with the teaching of Jesus. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you who are hated. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless and do not curse. Pray for those who mistreat you. Do not judge. Do not condemn. Forgive and give. Jesus goes on to say, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do as I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and are unwilling to do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you don't live under my lordship? Houses built, lives built on the foundation of Jesus and his teaching are like houses with really deep foundations, so deep that they go down to the rock, which is Christ himself. A house like that will be able to withstand all kinds of stuff. So when the flood comes, when the time of difficulty and struggle, the time of strain and suffering comes, the house remains strong, like Brother Yun in prison for almost 2 decades, facing the worst kind of persecution. The rain and the torrent that hit that building could not shake it from its foundations. Without treasuring the words of Christ, our lives are likely to collapse. They're damaged. And you know what damaged people do? They damage other people. Destroyed people like to destroy. Broken people break others. Hurt people hurt people. Let's not be people who call Jesus, Lord, Lord, and don't do what he says. Let's take serious the things that he says and treasure them in our hearts. You know, treasuring the word of God in your heart is not going to church. You won't just do it by osmosis. You won't even do it sat in this room. You've got to regularly spend time with Jesus. You've got to enjoy his words, listening to them, meditating on them, applying them to your life. I've got an apple tree near my house. When I first moved in, it's on like the railway behind my house. And someone had carefully undone the fence so you could climb through to pick the apples. And when we first moved in, there was a pathway that was kind of beaten out that led you all the way to the tree. But we didn't really know about the fence, and we weren't really bothered about the fruit that was on the tree. And so over the last few years, the brambles and the weeds and the nettles have grown up so that now to get to the tree would be such an effort. You know, you would get spiked. You would really be torn to pieces. And it's almost like this, you know, if we're not careful, if we neglect cherishing the tree, if we neglect the word of God, then slowly but surely the brambles begin to grow up around us. Has anyone seen the footage of the Camelot theme park? Like, you'll probably see it clickbait on various websites. But the theme park that we would have taken kids to from my youth club is now abandoned. It's been empty for years and years, and all the beautiful rides that we would have enjoyed are now kind of slowly being overtaken by the weeds. And Jesus is saying, unless you invest, unless you treasure my word in your heart, unless you really dig deep and begin to delight yourself in the things that I did and the things that I said, surely soon the weeds will begin to take over your life. The weeds will take the center stage. The thorns will begin to grow up. And before long, they will be the thing at the center of your being. And before long, they will be the thing that is displayed in the way that you speak, in the way that you live. Cherish my word in your heart, or before long, thorns will be the thing that appears. And thorns are good for no one. I'm sure you're thinking, Sam, I could never be involved in genocide. What a dramatic, like, story to read out. But these were Christian people. These weren't just, you know, every day going to church, pretending everything's okay kind of people. We can't blame it on Catholics. These were Protestants like you and I. These were people that went to church every single week, but they found themselves executing, slaughtering the people that lived next door, the people that sat next to them in church, because something had taken root in their life. Now, maybe you're not going to start slaughtering the people who live next door to you, but if you're not careful, things begin to grow up inside of you. Maybe it's the odd sly word here and there, where you just have a single thorn that you kind of stab in someone's leg. Maybe you begin to promote yourself above other people and begin to see yourself as superior somehow. Maybe you slightly wish for someone's downfall. You lie in your bed at night thinking, God, I'm way better than them. I just wish everyone had realized the truth about who they are. Maybe you post some crazy stuff on Facebook. Maybe you're a bit of a social media warrior and you like to bring people down a peg or two with the truth. Let's do all we can to fill ourselves with Jesus. You know, when Jesus lives at the center of us, in Ephesians 3, one of my favorite passages, it talks about the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit strengthens us in our innermost being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Where Christ dwells, his character begins to be displayed in us. Today again we pray, Lord, work on us on an innermost being. Lord, put your word, Jesus Christ, at the center of who we are so that we will increasingly display him to the world. I don't want my neighbours to see a prickly Sam. I don't want my neighbours to encounter the thorns that take root in my heart. I want to every day chop back at those with the word of God. with the sword of the Spirit. I want to cut away the things that are doing damage to me and will ultimately do damage to those around me. I want to place at the center of my heart the words of Christ, which are life to the world, that are displayed in wonderful fruit, fruit that tastes good to those around me, fruit that restores the broken, fruit that heals the sick, fruit that brings the kingdom of God. We want to be a blessing to those around us. And we do that when we take seriously the things of Christ, add them to our life, treasure them above all else. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we place Christ at the center. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you know the state of our hearts. You know whether we're people who are full of brambles or people with an abundance of fruit. And I thank you, Lord, that wherever we are, you know us and you understand us and you love us. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us, God, where brambles and weeds, the stuff of this world, so quickly take over. Lord, today we ask for a cutback. Prune us right back, Lord. Pull out the weeds, pull out the roots, and fill us with good stuff. Lord, we pray that our lives would be such a blessing to others, that those around us would know what's in our hearts, Lord. So, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to work on us in our innermost being. Come, Lord, heal us. Come, Lord, build your foundations in us. Set us again on the rock. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.